You know, there is a lot to be said about religion that is honoring to God and religion that does not honor God. And I think in the sermon text from Sunday, you know, at Ellick Southern Baptist Chapel, we have the habit of walking through the Bible so that we can't miss anything. We got to the passage of scripture where Jesus literally is driving people out from the temple with cords that he had fashioned into whips. And he's throwing over temple tables and putting money on the floor, dirty money that's earned from these people who are misusing religion. And it's not typically a passage that you just preach. You always want to preach the good passages, the passages that make you look good, the passages that make Jesus just look really good. But here he kind of looks mean. I think it was a righteous sense of justice Jesus had, a zeal for the house that God commissioned Solomon to build. And you can go back and you can listen to that sermon. It's at elexsbc.church. That's ELEXSBC.church. And it's there on the homepage currently. So pretty easy to go back and listen to that. But we see a lot there about religion that honors God through the lens of religion that dishonors God. We live in a culture right now, especially on social media. It seems there are a lot of religious perspectives being forwarded, a lot of stuff that people claim is godly and biblical that actually is not godly or biblical. For instance, I'm seeing a lot from people in the Roman Catholic Church. There's this campaign now to convert young Protestants, which it's always been the case with the Roman Catholic Church, at least since the Reformation, because they're trying to bolster their numbers. And so they target young, uninformed men and women in order to manipulate them because they are gullible. And because, frankly, in the Protestant church, we haven't done a great job of just teaching what the Bible plainly says. And so when the Catholic Church, one of its tactics is to say, oh, you believe the Bible, but you don't believe the church that gave you the Bible. When in fact, the Catholic Church didn't really give us the Bible. They just make that claim. People don't know history. They don't know the history of the Bible. Knowing that the Old Testament was given and compiled long before the Roman Catholic Church even existed, 500 or 600 or 700 years, even 1,000 years before the Catholic Church started. No, Peter was not the first pope. The Bible never makes that claim. You can't confirm that claim anywhere outside of the Catholic Church itself, which, you know, that's a little sus. When you make a claim, this claim, Peter's the first pope, he started the Roman Catholic Church, or God rather commissioned Peter to be the first pope and start the Roman Catholic Church. But then the only way you can verify that information is by looking at the tradition of the Roman Catholic Church itself. There's no evidence outside the church that's making that claim. That's a suspect claim there. You can't really verify that. But you can verify even the things that are in the Bible. You can verify most of those things extra-biblically. So it's just kind of funny that the Catholic Church will say, you believe the Bible, but you don't believe the church that gave us the Bible. But then they don't even really trust the Bible that they supposedly gave. It's really just kind of funny to me. But that's one of the things I've seen on social media. Another thing is the claim from prosperity churches or crazy, chaotic churches that require people to put in money or prayers or blessings, not far off from requiring sacraments or some form of indulgence or penitence. It's really the same kind of, it's on the opposite side of the spectrum, it looks like, but really the same kind of sin, requiring things in place of righteousness. And that's the very thing Jesus absolutely condemns in John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, which is really, really kind of interesting to me. So we're considering today what it means to honor God while acting as his church. Jesus does only have one church, but it transcends all of these boxes that we have created. It even transcends Roman Catholicism. So that's another thing they'll claim, that Christ only has one church, so you have to be a part of this one church, but it's not a worldly kind of organization like the Roman Catholic Church or like any other denomination of Christian. And I believe Roman Catholics can be saved. I think Jesus can save anybody he wants. And that's the difference between me and a Roman Catholic. I think Jesus can save anybody he wants. And Roman Catholics, I don't think believe that. It's kind of sad, actually, a really sad kind of point of view. But in John chapter 2, starting in verse 13, John writes, "The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. And he made a scourge of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, 'Take these things away. Stop making my father's house a place of business.' His disciples remembered that it was written, 'Zeal for your house will consume me.'" And that's in Psalm chapter 69. But here we have money changers. This is the main point of the passage right here. We have money changers who are trading righteousness for money. That's ultimately what it comes down to. They're taking a God-given religion that is good at its base, and the sacrificial system points to Jesus. And the money changers are basically selling people what they need to make sacrifices so that they can profit. The Roman Catholic Church has done this over the history of its existence, selling indulgences, requiring prayers for those in purgatory so that people stay addicted to Roman Catholic teaching, requiring the observance of tradition rather than scripture. And there was even a point when the Roman Catholic Church kept the Bible from people so that it could be the interpreter of God's word, so that people had to rely on the church Catholic in order to give them the Bible. And the church killed people for trying to translate the Bible into the common tongue. Like that's not cool. That's the very definition of using what God has given, his Bible. That's who gave us the Bible. It's God, right? Using something God given that is very good and should be available in the common tongue, keeping it for yourself so that you can profit, so that you can get money from people, so that you can get power over people, so that you can have influence, so that you can gain numbers for yourself. And that ultimately is what most things boil down to today, is a numbers game. And that doesn't just apply to the Roman Catholic Church. There are many churches that will call themselves Protestant, right? If they're even churches at all that try to glorify Christ at all. And their entire existence is about bolstering numbers, gaining for themselves, gaining money, gaining property. They'll even boast about numbers of baptisms, as if that really means anything at all. You know, Christ, never in Scripture do we see that any of those things are anybody's measure of success. What Christ desires from us is faithfulness. It's his faithfulness. His faithfulness in our lives, and then our faithfulness to him in the way we live. The Old Testament even tells us very plainly that God wants mercy, not sacrifice. And Jesus would criticize the Pharisees on that basis, that God desires mercy, not sacrifice, that he wants compassion rather than sacrifice, that this religious system that was supposed to point to Christ is now being used to judge people's righteousness, so that those who are elitist religious people, those who are in power, can offer the righteousness of God and salvation on the basis of human works, or as a trade, as a change for human works, which is exactly what the coin changers are doing in this passage. And Jesus obviously hated that, right? He fashioned cords at the temple into whips, and he drove the money changers out of there. There are many people who practice religion today who use Christ's name, but are in fact building their own kingdoms on Christ's back. And there needs to be a voice saying this. There are not many voices saying this because everybody seems to have an agenda. Everybody seems to have something they are trying to build. And honestly, and it's, you know, personal confession time, and honestly, that's the way I started out in ministry, because that's what we're trained to think starting out in ministry, even in a Western context, even in a Protestant context. And so I realized this isn't a Catholic church problem. It's not a prosperity church problem. This is a human problem. This is a result of our depravity. This is a result of our utter sinfulness. Even when we think we are doing something for God, and we'll say that, right? We are serving God, not men, by doing all these things. When Christ instructed us to live sacrificially, okay? When Christ instructed us to let our ambition be to simply work quietly with our hands so that we won't be in any need of anyone. Not to build something grand, not to have a lot of influence, not to have a lot of followers on TikTok or on Facebook, or to have 2.48 billion people as part of your organization, which I think ultimately that's a big pyramid scheme anyway, with one person at the top benefiting from everyone else, right? I don't think that honors God at all. Obviously, in John chapter 2, Jesus hated that kind of religion. And I don't think Christ changes. I think he still hates that kind of religion today. So I started out early in my ministry, and my entire goal was to build, right? To build something essentially for me as the pastor of a church or as the leader of a ministry. I loved bragging about increasing numbers and numbers of baptisms. And when I planted churches, I would try to plan the best thing programmatically. I would try to have the best music, try to have the most profound teaching. I would try to teach the deepest doctrines, because you can get people addicted to that really easily, right? People get addicted to stimulating their minds, and that becomes an idol in place of actually worshiping Christ and having a relationship with Jesus Christ, actually pursuing holiness in life and trying to be faithful to Jesus. And so that's what I would try to do. No church was good enough, so I would start my own. That's just the way it is. And that's the way a lot of churches are started today. You know, no church is good enough, so you start your own. And really, that's a slap in the face of Jesus Christ. It's a slap to God, and right in his face. It's an insult to him, because there he is, doing this wonderful work, doing this amazing work, and raising up churches for himself that are faithful to him. And because they don't have music that's good enough, we want to start something new. Like, God ultimately cares about the skill of someone's music team. No, God doesn't care about that, right? God doesn't care if there are awkward transitions in a service. God doesn't care. God doesn't care about how profound the teacher is. What he does care about, and this is the one thing we don't talk about, right? When we're talking about building churches and when we're talking about what we should do as churches, we always talk about how to get more people in the seats. God don't care about that. He don't care about the size of our little worldly organizations. He does care about our faithfulness. He does care about our holiness. And there aren't just a lot of people saying that. And this is why I take the opportunity to walk through scripture, right? You know, that's another accusation that comes against the Protestant church. There really is this campaign to just attack the Protestant church from the Catholic church, and I don't get that. If we were all really trying to serve and honor Christ, then we should be talking about what he has said and how we can outdo one another, not in criticisms, but in brotherly love. And it's sad that this conversation even has to take place, especially when we all have the same copy of scripture before us. Catholics have added a few extra books, but essentially we all have the same copy of scripture before us that tells us to be the same way. And Christ transcends any one worldly organization, right? But when we walk through scripture, we are forced to deal with passages like this that are ultimately really convicting and kind of damning for the modern day church in any regard. And I think in our world, certainly in my community, but in the world overall, I think we're in need of a basic Bible knowledge revival. We are a world that has become biblically illiterate again because elitists want to be gatekeepers of the Bible once again and tell us everything the Bible means. And they don't want us to go directly to the Bible and just read the Bible. They want to tell us what the Bible means. And people are afraid of disagreement. People don't know how to talk about disagreements they have when it comes to Bible stuff. So it's very unlikely that we can arrive at truth because everybody who disagrees with another person, they just separate from that person and throw ad hominem attacks at that person and criticize that person, but never really get to looking at the Bible or studying the Bible. And that's another criticism that comes from the Catholic Church, which is kind of funny because the Bible is what's important. God's word is what's important. The words that God gave are more important than any other word. That just seems to make sense. But then there's this criticism that comes down that Protestant churches are glorified Bible studies. And first, my thought is, well, no, they're not just glorified Bible studies. Most churches I've been in, Protestant churches, have a liturgy, even if they don't call it that, right? They do. They have a certain liturgy, they have songs that are very worshipful. Most of them are traditional, which is not a bad thing, right? And many young people in churches aren't just being crazy. You pick out the few churches that are just out there and weird and crazy, and then offer a false equivalence or a hasty generalization and criticize a whole group of people, and it doesn't make much sense to do. But then there's this criticism that it's just a glorified Bible study. And my thought is, even if that were true, would that be a terrible thing? Because isn't the Word of God the most important thing for us to understand? And so they're taking something that would be good and making it seem like it would be bad. But this dedication we have to teaching the Bible in order and in context so that people can know what the Word of God says rather than what mere people have asserted. This is the primary Protestant tradition, and it came out of this Reformation where people wanted to read the Bible for themselves rather than trust the elitist to give them a proper picture of the Bible. So this is the most important Protestant tradition. It's to say, go read the Bible for yourself. We don't say that the Bible has to be in Latin or that our mass, our services has to be in Latin and that the priest is the only one who can really understand the scriptures or even that people have to rely on any priest, on any teacher at all to give them the Bible, because we want to provide the Bible in a common tongue so that people can read it for themselves and glean for themselves. And people have become so biblically illiterate that some people will manipulate them into thinking the Bible teaches something it doesn't, or into thinking tradition is more important than the Bible, or manipulate people using things like church music or using things like church programs instead of just simply giving people the Word of God and trusting the Holy Spirit to convict people so that we love one another. Christ didn't teach that people would know we are his disciples if we are part of the Catholic Church or if somebody's a member of LX Southern Baptist Chapel. He didn't say people would know we're his disciples on that basis. He said, people will know you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. Real, sincere, genuine love, sacrificial love. The fact that we are living sacrifices for the benefit of one another rather than trying to gain anything for ourselves, which is ultimately what this story in John 2 comes to. We, as people, we are to, like Christ, he came to serve rather than be served. We, as individuals, as families, as churches, as people who own businesses and call ourselves by Christ's name, as believers, as Christians, whether Catholic or Protestant, right? If we're Christians, our lives are about serving others, not being served, not gaining for ourselves, and certainly not offering righteousness in turn for money or prayers or penance or anything of that matter. Jesus hated that so much, he drew out temple cords and thrashed them at the people doing that. A small picture of the wrath of God that will be revealed against all of those who use, especially God-given religion, but I think probably any religion at all, as a means for self-gain, prosperity, as a means to gain rewards. And this means a lot regarding our eschatology too. Like, if our view of end times, and this will cross over into like is Muslim thought, it'll cross over into basically every other religion there is, that if our view of heaven is something selfish, if our participation in any faith is a means to gain paradise or rewards in heaven or in paradise, our religion is selfish. It doesn't mean anything. Because, and God set this example in Christ, because true religion, religion that is pure and undefiled before our Lord, is a religion of giving. It's of considering others to be more important than ourselves. It is a religion of loving our enemies rather than persecuting them. It is a religion of giving ourselves and even our own lives for the benefit of others. And this fact sets biblical Christianity apart from any other sort of religion. You know, 99.9% of religion on planet Earth is exactly the same. Do these things, say these things, give this money, say these prayers, do these sacraments, practice the five pillars, do whatever, right? All these rituals, and you will be holy and you will be blameless before God. But then in contrast to that, exact opposition to that, the Bible teaches us it's not about anything we can do. It's all about what God has done in Christ. It is based on God's faithfulness. He is faithful to complete the work he started. So you stop glorifying yourselves by doing all these human works. They are like filthy rags before God. That's in Isaiah. Okay. They're like filthy rags before God. Instead, just trust in the one who has the power to give life and death. That is God, and he gives life in the person of Jesus Christ. So no, you don't need all this formal religious crap. You need Jesus. And any religion that points you to itself rather than Jesus is doing the exact thing these money changers were doing in John chapter 2. Jesus hated that. God hates that. He is faithful. Put your faith in him alone. He's the only one who can save you. Jesus is the only one who has authority over life and death. Jesus is the only one who can bring us to his kingdom. He is the only one who will see this thing through. And our eschatology, our end times, is about being with Jesus, not about gaining a bunch of rewards based on our performance on this earth. Man, how shallow is that? So I wish we would say this more. We need to say this. And that is the value of having a glorified Bible study on Sunday morning. Anyway, I hope you benefit from this passage of scripture as much as me. Again, if you want to go read the whole story for yourself in context, that's in John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. And I encourage you to go check out that sermon at elexsbc.church. That's alexsbc.church. And if you want to check out my personal blog, that is andrewpaulcannon.blog. So you can feel free to go check that out and connect with me on social media. And I look forward to having more conversations like this as I continue to work through John's gospel.